And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. Apologies for that cold open. What the fuck was that, JD? It's Thursday, November 30th, 2023. If anybody's still listening, thank you. I would have turned it off. I'm Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me is always Tass Mellis.
More power to you for turning it off, because I'm not sure if I should be approving it or not, so I'm just not asking any questions at this point.
Yeah, the man making those decisions over there. It's magic at times, super producer JD.
That was gold. What are you talking about?
What?
I can't tell.
Was it?
Yeah, it was absolutely
gold. Yeah, well, okay. I guess we'll let the stream team decide.
There's so many instrument players in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's the whole thing.
I mean, hold on. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
It's one thing watching it. Imagine listening to that, firing that up in the car ride to work in the morning.
Oh, they'll be fine.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it would have been better, actually, to be honest.
Just listening to
it,
wow.
Yeah, because then you're like, okay, it's bad.
Well, I was waiting for at least that cool-looking saxophone guy.
I know, and it paid off, right?
Oh, it was, yes, absolutely. again, shout-out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button and subscribe. Podcast listeners, again, if you're still here, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We'd really appreciate that. I also wanted to take a second to show some love to all of you absolute sickos out there for sharing all of your tweets and your Instagram stories of No Dunks in that sweet number one podcast spot on the Spotify Wrapped list. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There was a lot.
Yeah, some of them were number one, some of them not.
I know, I didn't know what to do. I was sharing a lot of those, resharing a lot on IG, and I was like, do I share the ones where we're in third place, where we're in fourth place?
Well, it depends.
Still top five.
Depends on what's number one and two.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like a third place team, you can still win the championship, you know?
Yeah, yeah. A lot we were number one. There was some crazy amount of like hours and minutes spent listening to this pod. Like people breaking it down, they've like listened to almost like 9 days worth of shows.
I know.
Mm-hmm. We did too many shows.
Yeah,
that's what my big takeaway was.
That's what I've been saying for years.
Yeah. But that's also our charm, JD.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
We're always there.
We're always here.
Bye, Menon.
But anyway, thank you. And it's really awesome to see. We truly mean it. So keep sharing those if you haven't got to your Spotify Wrapped there already. Who was your number one? Have you done it yet?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I saw the hot click on the Spotify, and I said, nah, not yet. It's too soon.
It's a little that's too November. Soon.
It's early.
They're pushing everything up. Yeah.
They're trying to be a Walmart, a Home Depot, a Target. Let's put all our Christmas gear out in September.
Yeah.
Just relax.
Slow down. We're fucking with time when we do this. They don't understand it.
They don't know.
But thanks to everybody. Okay, we had two wedgies last night. Yeah, that's right. They come in bunches. We told you they would. Number 7 and number 8. First one. Oh, we flipped these. Okay, number 8
my
here.
Bad.
This
my
is
bad.
Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Off the bounce. This was a rare one. Yes, technically number 8. This one, number 7. Austin Reeves earlier in the night. A deep wedgie. What the hell?
Well, the wedgie tracker hasn't updated, so we
did a self-update here. A quick update, because wedgie tracker isn't close to updating. They just think they aren't happening, because they're happening at a slower rate. But the wedgies are so hot right now, as JD points out, two of them. And I will say the Domantas Sabonis one, we always talk about him. He's so unique. He's so different. That wedgie is different.
The bounce into the wedgie.
He just missed a shot. Yeah. It was, you know, half an inch long. It bounced off the back of the rim, went straight up, and got wedged.
Yeah.
That was a long bounce up there. So that's why it was a nice one. Really
so,
nice one.
Again, eight total. That's where we're at. Wedgie tracker, more like wedgie slacker.
Mm.
Okay, I said it.
He's been doing it for a while.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's not us.
But he hasn't been on top of it this year.
No.
It seems like I have to tweet at this this fine gentleman. What's his name again? I'm drawing a blank.
Ricardo.
Sure.
It depends how you want to pronounce it.
Oh, okay, fair. Anyway, we're at eight. Fantastic. Guys, some games on last night, a lot of them of the blowout variety. So we thought instead of just your basic sort of game recaps, let's have a little fun. Let's play What You Got.
What you got?
What you got there?
What you got?
Yeah, what you got there? I am going to present some options to Tassie and to everybody joining us live and all the podcast listeners, and you got to pick which one you're going with. So, again, it was the night of blowouts in the NBA. There wasn't a lot of close games, but we had some surprising results, Tass. In Toronto, Scotty Barnes took over in the fourth quarter. Spicy P, good game. Raptors beat Phoenix 112-105 to end the Suns' winning streak at 7. And in Sacramento, Kawhi, Harden combined for 60 points as the Clippers overcame a very big game from De'Aaron Fox to beat the Kings handedly 131-117. The question, the what you got is, more impressive win, was it Raps over Suns or was it the Clippers over Kings?
We're not going to ask everybody watching our live stream because they just want a poll. Their response is going to be, poll please. I don't care who won and who deserved to win. I think it's actually the Clippers though, because the Raptors, yes. I've been yearning for them to get to 500. That's what they are going to be. They try hard every single game they play for Darko. They will be a 500 team. They got closer last night, especially coming off that plane. Brooklyn had them landing in Toronto at 4 a.m. That must be a little tough on a back-to-back for them to go out and win. I do think, though, that Devin Booker got injured in this game, and that was part of it. He kind of turned that ankle, and he kept playing, but he only hit one shot after that. And he just wasn't going to the rim whatsoever. He said he didn't want to go hard to the rim after playing through it. Kevin Durant coming back from injury, although he shot pretty well. The guy just drops 30-point games, no problem.
Took a lot of shots, though.
You did, yeah.
It was not all that efficient.
Night. No. Nope. But basically, their 7-game winning streak was snapped, so it's okay for them. I think the other one where the Clippers went in and destroyed the Kings, that was a butt-whipping. That was first quarter to fourth quarter. And although we got a hot Scotty Barnes in the fourth making those four shots, as you said, that was very impressive in that game. The Clippers just destroyed. We got a Raptor flashback. I thought Kawhi looked like Toronto Raptor in this game.
Yeah, he did look good.
Yeah, that monstrous 38 points, that monstrous dunk on JaVale McGee. We just crowned him. That guy hasn't missed a game this season. What up with that? I thought he was supposed to sit out every game. We talk about him managing the load. But Harden had a great game, and I wonder about that. Harden is literally playing himself into shape. And that's not a joke. But he literally hadn't been in shape in preseason, and now he's coming into it. So I just wonder if that is going to help them. But them being able to beat the Kings, that was a butt-whipping again. From first quarter to fourth quarter, it was a little more impressive to me than the Raps finally doing it in the fourth.
I think it is the Raptors is the more impressive win to play the homer card here. I know Schumann pointed out here in the stream team, what up, Shu, that the Raptors were at a rest disadvantage against the Suns, who had a couple nights off. And then, like you said, Raptors fly home. They don't get in till like 4 in the morning.
Yep.
When they land, that means they're probably not in their place until, I don't know, 5-ish, going to bed, whatever. It was a weird like schedule quirk for them. And they come out and beat and snap the Suns' winning streak. Whereas the Clippers, yeah, they had a bit of a rest advantage against the Kings. And, you know, the Kings definitely had a letdown game after their emotional IST win against the Warriors, you know, their arch nemesis. But all that to say, Raptors, that's what we want to see from you. That was the effort, really, is what I'm getting at. Like, defensively, like, making it difficult for these superstar scorers in Booker and KD. Obviously, Scottie Barnes taking over. Spicy P, I thought, was great all game. And I just was wondering, where the hell was this team against the Nets the other night in the IST? I mean, they're just night and day, a little Jekyll and Hyde. Mm-hmm. And if they can consistently play that hard, Then they're a tough out. Dennis Schroeder was a huge clutch basket in this Suns game too. You know, got the mismatch, got Nurk on him, really just ISO'd on him, used all the shot clock, and then snuck around a little layup in. He didn't have a great shooting game, Schroeder, but got the one that counted, and he's really taking care of the ball. That's really impressive. I think he has 21 assists to zero turnovers over his last two games. So really good point guard play, but I'll go that one, though I love all your reasonings there. Kawhi looked like the old Kawhi, and Harden is getting it going here. This was a really good team win for LA.
Yeah.
Against Sacramento.
And Schroeder tried at the beginning against Booker, but it was the switch to OG Anunoby who was guarding Booker and blocked him that one time.
Yep.
That was really impressive. OG giving it. And then Scottie Barnes in that fourth quarter, making four shots in that fourth, was big. He went at Booker once, and then that athletic move where he went to a spin and got it up on the rim and missed, but he got his offensive rebound. He was the most athletic freak out there, and that's what people wanted from Scottie Barnes when they drafted him. Listen, this team is going to be 500, and that's great. That's a huge win for this team. If they can get to 500, they're 9-10 this season. They play hard for Darko, and I think he said that Scottie Barnes is a winner after this game with how hard he played in this one. So I like the effort as well from the Raps.
Man, the people really wanted a poll, man. They wanted
it. Still talking?
No, we're moving on. But what was the more impressive win? You tell us. Was it the Raptors over the Suns, or was it the Clippers over the Kings? Let's go to the Orlando Magic, though. Franz Wagner scored a season-high 31 points as the Magic rolled to their eighth straight victory, 139-120 over the Zards. The Magic's win streak, one short of the franchise record set in 1994. But in Memphis, Jaren Jackson Jr. had 20 points, 6 blocks, and the Grizzlies defeated the Jazz 105-91. Forget this. Their first home win of the season. Really 20 games in here. I know they haven't played all of those at home, but still, the streamers finally fell on Lang Whitaker. So, wilder fact here, Tass. Magic winning 8 straight, or the Grizzlies winning their first home game last night. What you got?
It's the Grizzlies, surprisingly, because we talk about the Orlando Magic and how good they look basically every single show on this one. We talked about them Monday in depth. We talk about them in our beach stepping on Wednesday. We talked about them before we went and had turkey on Wednesday. Lots of talk about how solid this team comes out and plays hard for Jamal Mosley and how they have a defensive mentality and identity. But that's why I'm not giving it to them. They gave up a lot of points to Washington. As Kyle Kuzma said after this game, he told The Athletic, we couldn't stop a stop sign, so the Magic scored 139. But they gave up, 120 points to this Washington Wizards team. So I'm going with, we'll talk about the Magic even more on this show. It doesn't go a show without us talking about them. But on the Grizzlies side, they've had so many major injuries. Bismack Biyombo's there. They just grabbed him because we need somebody. Steven Adams is out. Brandon Clark is out. They went and got Powell because they need somebody for Marcus Banks, who's out. Everybody's out for this Grizzlies team. And I thought their rotation, unlike what the Magic did defensively, their rotation was just so good defensively in this one. Mm-hmm. I kind of like how the Grizzlies decided, we're not going to play Jacob Gilliard. We're not going to play Kenny Lofton. We're not going to play John Conchar. All those guys were out because everybody else played hard in this game. Even though they didn't shoot all that well from three, the Jazz actually shot better from three. It was Triple J and Desmond Bain. They shot 3 of 14 combined from three-point line. So you think, we're not good enough. But the rotation players got it done. Derrick Rose starting for this in this game. You mentioned that Schroeder line about assists to turnovers. I thought Derrick Rose did an incredible job setting up guys. Yes, he plays for this Memphis Grizzlies team. He's supposed to come off the bench when John Morant eventually returns. He had 9 assists and 1 turnover, 7 of 8 from 2. He was just making things happen for their lineup. And I guess we can talk about the Grizzlies now and the Magic because Magic.
The Grizzlies is probably the correct answer here because I think that probably surprised a lot of people.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people know Memphis has struggled this year and have one of the worst records in the Western Conference and no John Morant, a lot of injuries and all that, but their first home win? I mean, this is a place where like we've made the drive to Memphis. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome arena. It's like that's where you think they'd pick up an odd win or two. So they finally got it done. So that's probably the answer. But yeah, the Magic, man, 8 straight quality wins over this win streak too. Now look, it started with the Bulls, took care of business, 2 against them on the road. Then they beat the Pacers, obviously a very talented team. Then they beat the Raptors, who we just talked about, can be a solid team on any given night, especially defensively. They put 126 on their head. That was one of their in-season tournament games. Then they beat the Nuggets. Then they beat the Celtics. And then they're still taking care of these sort of, you know, lesser teams in the Hornets and the Wizards. I think they're going to set their record here for all-time win streak, though. They play the Wizards again.
Yes, they are.
At home. I mean, that should next game. Be a W.
Yes, it should.
That gets you to 9, and then they go on the road for the Nets-Cavs. Is that where it will end, or can they keep this going? Because the vibes are amazing around this team. I know we're going to get to some plays there from that game last night and their entire season, but they're obviously locked in defensively. They get out on the break. You know, they're throwing insane lobs to each other and just having a blast. And then you're led by, they have enough scoring, as we talked about, in Franz. He goes off last night. Obviously, Paolo is their sort of star. He'll be their very likely all-star, I think, this season. And then everybody else contributing, like Cole Anthony. He's going to be in the running for sixth man of the year. We might do some award talk on tomorrow's Drop podcast. But yeah, 8 straight. It's no joke. And like I said, when I went through that list there, some quality wins. It's not all bad teams.
Yeah, and I will say, we know that the Orlando Magic are going to show up with defense every single night. We just wonder if they're going to get enough offense from the rotation to be a team that can win in the playoffs, to win a playoff series. And Franz Wagner is the guy that I've always questioned. I've always wondered, how great can he be? Back-to-back 30-point nights for him for the first time this season. He's starting to look like himself pretty regularly. He just looks like Franz. Franz is a very, very good player. And it's all starting to come together, even offensively. So I wonder, in the Eastern Conference, you know, the goal, yes, of course, make the playoffs. Be one of those top six.
Yeah, get some reps, yeah.
But win a playoff series, if they get there. I think that's what we'll all be talking about. That, you know, we'll be debating, can they win a playoff series? Who are we picking in this first round playoff series?
Right. I mean, it has, some similarities to the Cavs last year. Obviously, in a sort of an elite defensive team. You know, getting into the postseason, having home court advantage, ultimately lose to the Knicks there. You know, they sort of have them figured out. They killed them on the glass, you know, took care of their bigs. But, you know, defensively, the Magic are getting it done. But will they be in that position is what I'm getting at here. Could they be a 4 or 5th seed? They're even higher right now.
Yeah.
How long can they sustain this? But, man, they are fun to watch right now. And it's cool that Orlando fans have something to cheer about again. Because it's been a while, really.
It's been a long time. We were talking about the Pistons yesterday,
yeah.
And it's been, you know, nearly 14 years since they won a playoff game, or 15 years since they won a playoff game. Similar to the Magic. They've been waiting for this for so long. It's been like a decade that they've been trying to build and build and build and build. And you see them up against the Wizards, who are supposed to be trying to build, and the Magic have just, you know, laid each brick, and they are playing for Jamal Mosley. They're playing ridiculously hard.
So I did 2 things this morning. One, I cursed up a storm because my car battery is dead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Jumped it yesterday, brought it back to life, debated, do I drive to AutoZone, you know, do the old test, maybe get a new battery anyway, or let it ride, you know? Well, I let it ride, and then it was dead again this morning.
Uh-huh.
So that wasn't fun. But you know what else I did? I watched a 15-minute clip of the best moments from the Orlando Magic's 8-game win streak. Real sicko stuff, and I was inspired to do this task because last night we get the highlight where Cole Anthony and Jalen Suggs, they semi-reenacted the infamous LeBron D. Wade play from 2010. So here it is. We're showing everybody on YouTube. We've got Suggs throwing out his arms as he chucks the oop up to Cole Anthony, who punches it home. You've seen the split screen by now. Not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny. But I want to put it up against another play from this Magic win streak. And it's another oop. It was started on the defensive end by Suggs, but then it's Franz Wagner throwing an oop to Cole Anthony, who catches it one hand, puts a second one on it, sort of gets it almost past Derek White there. Big play. It's against Boston. Big IST win. So what you got, Tess? What you got? Best moment during the Magic win streak, these two oops, last night's Suggs to Cole, or that one in the Celtics game, Franz to Cole, what you got?
That's a very difficult question. I think I'm going to go with you watching the 15-minute clip. At AutoZone? Was
no!
it at
AutoZone?
Oh, that would have been spectacular.
No.
You jumping up while in the lobby at AutoZone.
I was watching it. I was waiting for my Uber.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No, it's
but
not
no,
bad.
I wouldn't pick your moment. I would pick... I think I'm going with the first one because I mentioned it on Monday show after watching it on Sunday against the Boston Celtics and watching what that team does, especially with Franz leading the way, setting it up for Cole Anthony. Because really what's happened with the second one is that this happened on Sunday, and then Cole Anthony just learned, oh, you know what? I threw down that first one, but I didn't do the Heat impression, so I'm going to do it this time. So I think he's...
Suggs is the one really doing the Heat impression.
Oh, yeah, that's
with
true.
With the arms, with the Wade arms.
That's my bad.
Which everybody thinks that was a Wade to LeBron alley-oop.
It was not.
Which it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
Rumors. So many rumors.
It still blows my mind that it wasn't, but yeah, great. Great Suggs celebration there.
Listen, this is a definition of what the Orlando Magic are. They play hard beyond the three-point line defensively, and then they start running. And yeah. So both are spectacular. Both are so similar in terms of how they're playing defensively. But the one that's going to make all the headlines is Suggs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
because of the comparison.
Because of the comparison, because of the redo, because Suggs loves to be on the camera. He's great at it, and I love watching him for it. He brings that intensity. He yells at people. He talks to the ref. He talks to Gucci Mane, referee. He talks to everybody and gets everybody in Orlando cheering. So Suggs is the more, the guy you want to get behind, the guy you want to notice, the guy you want to see.
I recommend you fire up that 15-minute clip and watch these Magic highlights from this win streak. There's a lot of great passing. A lot of beauty backdoor cuts for layups and dunks. A lot of oops. Paolo had a huge dunk on, I believe it was Jalen Smith of the Pacers. Put him in the rim. But these two oops I thought were the best. But let's hear. I think most people are going to go with last night's because of Suggs celebrating the way he did. But Cole Anthony, man, that guy can get up.
Yeah.
He's a little guy. He skies. And I love how hard he dunks.
Yeah.
And it looks cool.
I wanted him to win the dunk contest when he was in there, but he was in Timberlands.
He had the Timbs on.
In the Timbs with boots. Come on.
I mean.
That ain't right.
It was a funny dunk contest moment. He threw down a windmill in the Timbs, right? I mean, that's the thing. It was like, okay, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a really bad dunk contest.
Yeah, that was bad, yes.
Yeah, that was overall. We have forgotten about that one. Okay, final one here. Some box scores. Zion Williamson took advantage of no Joel Embiid. He punished the Sixers, scored 33 points, Zion did, finished 11 of 12 from the field, and 11 of 12 at the line, added 8 boards, 6 dimes, 3 steals. We also had the Joker messing around, getting a triple-double against the Rockets, 32 points, 15 assists, and 10 boards. And then one more wild card addition here, Tass, for you. D'Angelo Russell scored a season-high 35 points on 17 shots, 9 assists, 4 boards in the blowout victory over the Pistons. So, best box score, Zion, Jokic or D'Angelo Russell, what you got?
I'm going with D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, you would.
I watched this live, and I was so puzzled. I thought, how can this be happening? This is a franchise record high 15th straight loss for the Detroit Pistons. This has never happened in Detroit Pistons history. And to watch D'Angelo Russell continue to do what he did way back when he was a Los Angeles Laker, this is what felt like... rookie, second year, third year, D'Angelo Russell. He just felt so confident. 35 points on 76% shooting.
Woo.
He couldn't be stopped. It was kind of like old school D'Angelo Russell. First couple against Asar Thompson. Then he just got so, so confident. He danced on every defender. He hit a three-point shot. There was a foul underneath. And then he kind of jogged to the other baseline as the stop was going on underneath the rim. To see that old D'Angelo Russell confident against everybody. All those Lakers were ridiculously confident against young Detroit Pistons.
Right. That's the knock against picking D'Angelo Russell, I guess.
Yes,
like it was against the Detroit Pistons.
But I watched him against Asar Thompson to start, who's a solid defender. But then he did it against everybody, and LeBron was dancing on people. Anthony Davis was dancing on people. But for that, I go D'Angelo Russell, and that's why I wrote a quick poem for the Detroit Pistons.
Whoa.
Because I felt bad watching them.
Wow.
So I have something to say to each guy.
Okay.
Asar, you're a star. You keep going. Cade, those wins are cunning. Ham, Mr. Hayes, I want your singing. Mr. Hayes.
What?
You sing for him.
Sing what?
Oh, I thought you'd be ready. Killian. I thought you'd be ready. If you don't watch it, that's okay.
Boy, you be Killian.
You be Killian. There you go. Isaiah. I say it. No, that was good. I mean, it would be good if it happened. Anyway, Isaiah, I say this. Keep your head up. Your game is stew art.
Oh, stupendous, I thought you were going to say.
Oh, no. His name's Stuart. I've said every last person.
This is like a pep talk poem is what's happening here, sort of. You're giving them confidence.
I'm putting my arm around them and saying things are going to be all right.
Okay.
Yeah, Asar, you're a star. I could have said that better. Asar, you're a
star.
No,
that was a really good one.
Yeah, anyways. Like the last one.
Yeah.
Like the ivy wrapping around a branch, you are so powerful, Jay. Dan, you are poisonous. Yeah, you can do it all. Yeah, that was a weird one. Anyway.
Okay, fascinating. Yeah. That's what you were doing watching the game.
Yeah, because they got blown out. I had nothing to do. I'm trying to be creative. They were getting spanked. They were getting run down their throats. They had won 13 straight games, and this young team is so young. They've got by far the youngest starting five, 21 and a half, playing right now. And the Lakers just demolished them.
Yeah, yeah.
LeBron didn't have to play in the fourth quarter of a game in Detroit. They should be playing harder. They should be playing better. Actually, boy, Ubi Killian was okay off the bench. They just struggle out there. It's hard. It's hard watching this team.
After all that, I think I would make a case still for Jokic.
Yeah.
With that triple-double. 30-point triple-double, zero turnovers. Statitude says that's the third time that he's done that, and it's the most such games since the NBA even started tracking turnovers in, like, 78. So that's pretty wild. This guy has 3 30-point triple-doubles and zero turnovers. Mm-hmm. That's nuts. But Zion, my question with that was, I was seeing last night that he had a perfect game. He had pitched the perfect game from the field. He was 11 for 11. And then suddenly it was 11 for 12. Was there a tip or something? I didn't really do a deep dive on that, but it suddenly changed. Still a monster game from him in a really impressive Pelicans win. CJ McCollum back. Trey Murphy III right around the corner. This team could get it going here, and that was an awesome game from him.
Yeah. The reason I didn't go with him is because it looked like he was playing against a college team because he was way bigger than the 76ers with Joel Embiid out.
No Embiid.
So he was going up against Marcus Morris, just taking everybody to the rim. He had 11 makes. 10 makes were within the restricted area. That's where he made every shot,
Zion.
Within feet. Yeah, just going hard to the rim and being able to score. And one shot made just outside it. So that was an incredible, incredible performance. And Nikola Jokic, that team has lost two games to the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to turn it on. Jamal Murray, his first game back in 25 days or whatever it is. Yeah, he felt like he needed to destroy Al Şengün. Alperen Şengün calls Jokic his idol. And he's been playing great against them. So Jokic coming out with the trip dub, that was impressive. Zion was impressive.
I loved about Zion is that he got to the free throw line and he hit his free throws. I would have to do a deep dive on this, but 11 for 12 for Zion at the line, that's maybe the best he's ever shot in an NBA game. He is not like an incredible free throw shooter. He's like a 65% free throw shooter. So that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously to go along with not missing in the paint there and just working in there with no Embiid. And I loved, the boards and the assists. He had three steals too, and he was a positive player. So I guess I'm getting to ultimately picking Zion in what you got. That's what I'm going to do.
That's a good one. It's a good one. They're all immaculate. I didn't want to pick Zion because he took 12 free throws. Come on, I just want buckets. But it was still great. Also great, everybody calling me cringe for my my poetry.
What?
I love the stream team coming through. You want some more stream team? I got some. Marvin, that Bagley is full of tricks. Isaiah, no drinking. Take care of that livers.
Yeah, okay.
Very important. Kevin, it's the hard knocks life for this team. But you'll get there, my friend. As will I. But watching that, remember LeBron and Isaiah Stewart way back when LeBron hit Isaiah Stewart sort of by accident, wasn't it an accident? And then Isaiah Stewart kept that thing going for minutes and minutes where he's trying to start a fight.
Get at him.
LeBron and Isaiah Stewart hit each other a couple times last night, but they just played basketball. And I thought, okay, the Pistons are alive. They are going to fight. But it's miraculous how little they do.
Well, Monty Williams is starting to call them out now.
That's good.
There's a couple games I feel in a row now that he's like in his post-game press conferences questioning the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're starting to see that.
Yeah, they weren't getting to the line. They had three free throws at halftime, and this was a blowout. How can you have three free throws when you are far younger than your opponents?
Right.
You should be going hard to the rim. You should be dunking. If not, take some 3-point shots that you can. They shoot the fewest threes in the NBA, so
well, that's the issue. They can't shoot at all.
They cannot shoot, and they got to play harder defensively. It was an embarrassment last night.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to count down the top 7 sophomores from this NBA season. Don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. I apologize for not being ready there with the boy. You be killing it.
No. You probably thought I was going a little heavier on the poem, I imagine, than being ready early in the poem.
You know what it was? it was like you were focusing on Hayes. And yeah, I was hearing Hayes, and I'm thinking, like, Isaac Hayes? What Isaac Hayes song does he want me to sing? So I got really caught up in that.
Yeah.
I skipped the Killian part. Yeah,
maybe I should have gone with that. I just didn't want to give it away that...
Give it away. Yes. So I'm ready now.
Oh, anything this you guy's say. Ready.
Yeah. I'm tuned up. Okay, let's get into something fun here. There was a tweet I saw yesterday from @SlamOnline. A very simple tweet with a bunch of guys' photos on it. And it was asking, who's your favorite sophomore? So, you know, you see some of the names there. A lot of these I'm going to go through, so I will not say them all for the podcast listener. But, you know, it almost looks like a yearbook shot. Mm. It's like, hey, favorite sophomore, who do you like? And I was like, who's been the best sophomore this season? You know, we always talk about the rookies. I mean, it's always Wemby, Chet, and the rookie race. Hawkes Jr., is he in third? I saw Redick say he is. I loved it. But I thought it'd be fun to look at the top sophomores. So we're working with the 2022 NBA draft class. We're obviously omitting Chet Holmgren, taken in that draft, but... you know, officially a rookie because he didn't play last year.
Yes, who would be number one, I'm sure, here.
Yes, exactly. Be very close. But point is, we're not talking Chet. We're talking about the actual guys in their second year of the NBA. I really did try to focus on this season, right? Like, who's playing the best and contributing to their team's success through the first 15 to 20 games. So I'm not really taking into consideration as much their rookie season or what they did in the playoffs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I got a top 7 list for you.
All right.
Top 7 sophomores. We start at number 7. That makes sense. I know you were in the dock this morning. You probably saw me change this name like 12 times. Mm-hmm. I did not know who to put at number 7.
I think you had this name in yesterday, and then you took it out, and you said...
I took it out, and I rotated in, like, literally 10 names. Okay, so I had Keegan Murray here in this spot.
Ooh.
But he can't shoot right now.
He's struggling this year.
I had Shaedon Sharpe in this spot. Mm. His stats feel a little empty on a team that poor, and I love him. And he's going to be a star. I believe that. But I took him out. I had one of the big guys in here, like a Walker Kessler or a Jalen Duren. They have played a lot of less games than most of these guys, so I took them out. I had Jeremy Sochan here.
Oh, yeah.
He's been pressed into a tough role.
But he's playing well.
He's
enough.
Playing okay. I had a teammate, Andrew Nembhard, in here. Mm.
Can't
but,
you?
But I went with Benedict Mathurin for the number 7 slot here. He's averaging 13-4-2. Okay, it's not going to wow you. Some of these guys' stats are not going to blow you away here. But Mathurin started the first 12 games of the season. He's now moved into a bench role. It's really helped his efficiency a bit. And he's contributing to a winning team there in Indiana. You know, we were high on Mathurin at the start of last year. He was, like, leading the Rookie of the Year race when he couldn't miss, and he was such a scoring machine. But he's still really good. He plays his role. He's, you know, getting a little more comfortable in that, like I said, coming back off the bench. So I put Mathurin here over a lot of those other guys I just mentioned. But I won't be upset if you've got one of them that I just went through in this slot.
Yeah, I probably would have put Sohan there because okay. Benedict Mathurin has been – great to start the season when he was starting, and then that fell off, and then he went back to the bench like he did last year for most of the season, and then got better. So that's just kind of, it's weirded me out why Rick Carlisle has done that, because he's trying to find probably a little bit more defense in his starting lineup.
Yeah.
And because this Indiana team doesn't stop anybody. So really, yeah, he hasn't improved from his first year numbers, but he's still good. He's still a good player.
Number 6 on my list, Dyson Daniels.
I love the vacuum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know his brother's name is Dash?
No.
Apparently he's a good prospect. I think he's a really young kid, but apparently he's going to make the league. Daniels. Dash and Dyson Daniels.
He must be fast.
Cool. Yeah, I hope
D-A-S-H?
So. I think so. Hmm. Yeah. Just a dash of speed from this kid.
I think we can make a reindeer short out of that.
Taz is already writing the poems. So Dyson Daniels, okay, again, his numbers are not going to blow you away. I get that. He's averaging basically 8-5-4. But he's on this list because the Aussie plays some defense. Off ball, this guy, very disruptive. He is clogging passing lanes, driving lanes. He's very, very active. He leads all sophomores in steals at 1.6 per game. Dyson Daniels needs to add more offense. He needs to add some shooting and, a little more consistency on that end. True. But he's only 20. I think that could come, and I think he'll get there. And he is a winning player. He's, fairly high in the win shares when you're looking at the sophomores. He was slotted in as a starter there, replacing some of the injured guys on the Pelicans. So I wanted Dyson Daniels on here. Are you upset with that?
No, I love Dyson Daniels. Okay. I'm watching him. And the reason why he's got, so many starts this season is because the Pelicans – we just talked about C.J. McCollum coming back. They have so many injuries and now Alvarado, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But he's filled in. But his three-point shot, is a little bit lacking.
Yeah, he can't shoot.
It's got to happen in the offseason. Just learn.
He's got the D down in the 3-and-D.
Yes.
He does not have the 3 great. Down. But I wanted to include him here. Number 5 on my top 7 sophomores, Christian Brown.
Interesting.
We haven't talked about him a lot
this
year. He ranks 5th amongst all sophomores when it comes to win shares, so he is helping, obviously, Denver. He leads the sophomores in three-point percentage when you're looking at people that have played enough and shot enough. So he's a 40% three-point shooter. I think he can actually still shoot more because he's a pretty good shooter. He averages 9-4-2. He only plays 20 minutes per game. Of all these guys, I think he plays the fewest amount of minutes, but knows his role. He's obviously a winner. I said I wasn't including what he did last year's postseason, and I'm not, because he's still that guy. He's just a good basketball player. He's never going to be a star, I don't think, but he's going to play on a lot of winning teams because he plays hard, he plays a role, and like I said, he can shoot. So I got Brown in here.
Yeah, coming off the Nuggets bench, a lot of people wondering, well, they lost Bruce Brown, they lost Jeff Green. Where is their Nuggets, or where's their bench offense going to come from? Christian Brown is solid. Reggie Jackson looks really great, and he'll be coming off the bench, when
Jamal is back, too.
Yeah, and Jamal is back. And there's Peyton Watson and Julian Strother. I think they have enough with Zeke Nnaji. They have enough coming off the bench. And Christian Brown, even though his numbers aren't spectacularly better, aren't crazy great, this is his role. They have roles in Denver, and he's fitting it.
At number 4, I really debated which big man to slot in here. I ultimately decided with Hornet center Mark Williams over Kessler and over Jalen Duren. Two major factors why. Mark Williams has played significantly more minutes than those two, through about 20 games here. Maybe 5 or 6 games more. He's got the minutes, like I said, total minutes. And the other factor, Mark Williams has been freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really good. He leads all second-year players in win shares by a lot. He's averaging 13-10. He shoots 67% from the field. He chips in nearly a block and a steal per game, and he is a terror on the offensive glass. He is third in the league, Tass, when it comes to total offensive rebounds. I think he's behind Mitchell Robinson and Clint Capella. Mark Williams, you know, obviously now getting a bit of an opportunity there on the Hornets. And again, you know, Kessler and Jalen Duren missed time because of injury. So I went with Mark Williams. And I think he's deserving to be on a top seven sophomore list.
Yeah, he has been solid. I think you can rely on him more than you can Jalen Duren, Walker Kessler so far this season because of injury, as you said. And the Walker Kessler scenario is it's very interesting because they have Larry Markkanen, they have John Collins. Walker Kessler comes off the bench at times.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting big man rotation there. They got to make a move, I assume, by February, but we shall see.
I do think, you know, if I were to do this exercise in 2 months, 3 months, I think Kessler will be on the list. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be back into more of a role there. Didn't he have like six blocks, I think, even last night?
That's what he
like,
does.
Yeah, he'll start, you know, sort of rounding into shape here. So I think he'll be on the list. But
averaging
right
two
now,
and a half start of blocks a season. That's a big number for Walker Kessler.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, top three. This was actually pretty easy. Number three, Jabari Smith Jr. with the Rockets.
Yeah, it's getting easier now. These guys are...
Yeah, 3-2-1 was not hard. Smith is just super steady. He averages 13-8. He shoots and hits the three ball at a decent clip. He is contributing, which is nice, to winning Rockets basketball, at least when they're at home. They can't win on the road still. And he has nearly a 60% true shooting percentage. Jabari Smith Jr., I feel like here's another guy we don't talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of gone under the radar. It's been a lot of when we're talking about the Rockets, Şengün looking amazing. You know, Jalen Green has his games and his moments. And then these new guys that have come in here in Brooks, in Van Vliet, in Jeff Green that have like contributed to them getting some wins. But he's been really, like I just went through, steady. Again, not going to wow you. He's not making an all-star team this year or anything, but I think he's number three.
I think it's a great pick, even though, yeah, when you talk about the Rockets, you're talking about the guys who produce a little bit more or the big name acquisitions during free agency and Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks. But this guy can play. And it's not just a decent percentage of the three-point line. It's above average.
Yeah.
You know, it's
what 30, is it, 37?
37. The guy can shoot it every time he touches the ball. He was a great shooter last year when he made those wild game winners. This guy can play. This is a solid team. And yes, we don't talk about the Rockets and each one of their top five guys enough. Maybe because we sort of underestimate how good they are. They are a really good team. Even though they're just 500 and they've lost some games on the road, they've been in every game on the road. They have been tough performances. And this guy is going to be in the league for a long time. He's so good as a rook last year, and he looks even better now.
At number two, J-Dub, Jalen Williams with OKC. He's a future NBA champion. You know it, and I know it. So he missed a few games last week. And then he returned. He put up a stinker in that return against the Wolves on Tuesday night. But his first 13 games, he averaged 17.5 points per game, 4 boards, 4 assists, shooting splits of 51 from the floor, 37 from 3, 88% at the line. You know, he gets at it on the defensive end. He's like among their best defensive unit that they can really put out a scary squad out there, OKC. And he's a no-brainer to have number two on this list. And, you know, would have been maybe even interesting if the Magic weren't on an 8-game win streak and he didn't get injured, then we would be debating between 1 and 2, but he comfortably slots into second on my top sophomore list.
I think you can look at this team and say, okay, Shea's obviously their best player. Chet kind of sliding into their second best player, depending how you look at it. But Jalen Williams is right up there as well. This team is stacked. To be able to score the way he does off the bounce, he's got incredible handle. And as you said, he is a great shooter, although it hasn't been happening from three-point land. I think you can just rely on this guy a ton. Like you said, championship, sure.
If he is your third best player moving forward in this league, you are feeling really good, I think, about your team.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
and
fair.
And still being really young. But at number one, it's Paolo Banchero of the Magic, the Red Hot Magic. He leads all sophomores in scoring, 19.1 points per game. He throws in 6 boards, 5 assists. A steal. He's shooting nearly 44% from deep. That caught me by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. And he has all these numbers, despite getting off to a very slow start in October. His first 4 games, where we were like, is he okay? What's going on here? He's been amazing in the month of November. He won a Player of the Week recently. And he is... It's starting to feel like he's well on his way to his first All-Star selection here. Mm-hmm. And the first All-Star selection from this sophomore bunch.
Yes.
I would expect, I mean, especially if they have a winning record, it's him or Franz, and I think it's Paolo getting that selection, if there's only one Orlando Magic player. So Paolo number one, and I can't imagine you're surprised by this.
No, and the fact that he's playing on a better team, I think, helps his efficiency levels. He's shooting less than he was last year. He's scoring a tiny bit less, but he's been more efficient. He can just let it rip from three-point land. To shoot over 40%, he's shooting 43% from three-point land. That's an incredible number.
I think the scary part is, like, when you watch these games now, and it's fun, like, tuning into Orlando Magic games because it's entertaining and they're a winning team, it's like, I still think you look at him and you're like, oh, he's got, like, 2-3 levels still to go.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still so young. I mean, we're talking about sophomores here. Like, guys that have played, how many games has he played? 100 games, basically, in his NBA career. So, like, that's 90. Really cool to think, holy crap, he's just going to get better and better. But I have him at number one. So, again, I'll hit you with my top seven sophomores this season. It was tough at number 7 and 6, but I got Benedict Mathurin. I got Dyson Daniels. I got Christian Brown. Mark Williams. Jabari Smith Jr., Jalen Williams, the J-Dub variety, the wing variety in OKC, and then Paolo Banchero. Most surprising omission when I did my seven there task. You didn't know who I was going to have on that list. Who are you most surprised that I didn't?
I do believe it's Jeremy Sochan of the San Antonio Spurs. I think they have thrown him into a point guard spot that's not his. It just doesn't fit right for Jeremy.
They haven't done him any favors with that. That's sort of why I left him off.
That's fair. Yeah. That's totally fair. I think Tari Eason has been solid with the Rockets, although the numbers aren't spectacularly better. And some things that are weirding me out, Jaden Ivey and what's happening in Detroit, he's got to be better. Nikola Jovic with the Heat, I'm surprised he's not a little bit better. AJ Griffin here in Atlanta, we watched him in his first season. We thought this guy is going to be part of the NBA rotations forever. And Quinn Snyder said, nah, I'm pulling you out.
Yeah.
I'm kind of confused by all that. And they'll probably be making deals. He's got to be part of a rotation at some point. But guys like Marjon Beauchamp are okay as well. But he's got to be
shooting
better.
I was doing this last night, I was like, there's a lot of good guys.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of, like, elite guys or guys that I feel could turn into that.
Yeah.
Like, of these guys we just named, good, solid. That's why it was difficult when I was doing 7-6-5 on this list. I'm like, I don't know. Like, sure, Kessler, sure, Durin, Sochan, you know, Ivy even, though he's been bad. Like, Keegan Murray is the one I said right off the top. He's just not played well. I like what I've seen defensively from him. I talked a lot about that through a lot of shows. Like, I like that he's, like, turning into a bit better defensive player, but he just has struggled. He can't hit the three at all. I think he's sub 40% from the floor. He'll be on this list as it goes on, I'm sure, but yeah.
Yeah, watching him at Summer League and how he was supposed to help out De'Aaron Fox be a creator on that team, I wondered, you know, if I am – do I have scout ability here? Am I that good at watching the game? Because he looked like he could, but he was just sort of slow into those things, getting into all those motions. So I expect him to get to there at some point.
He will. He plays a ton. Like, he plays, like, almost the most minutes of all the sophomores. It's Sharp, J-Dub, Paolo, and Keegan Murray. So he plays 33 minutes a game. But, like, again, I want to illustrate how poorly he's played. Shot the ball. 39% from the floor, and then 29% if you want to round up, from three. This is very, very bad.
Yeah, so
for a guy that we know can shoot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's not on this list because of those percentages, because he's not efficient. But I think he can be the complimentary guy to be that secondary ball handler. They're trying to figure things out with him and Herter to support De'Aaron Fox as the ball handlers on that team. But he is very good. And, I thought Marjon Beauchamp would be flying in Milwaukee, just hitting shots. But that percentage is pretty similar to his three-point percentage. It ain't right. It's not right, but you're right. This team, this group is good.
Good.
The good.
Yes. I mean, really, my biggest takeaway was going, like, holy crap, the Thunder got Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren in this same draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty – it looks amazing. Other honorable mentions, if you want to play that game, you know, Andrew Nembhard, he contributes for the Pacers. He plays. David the Body Roddy, sure. Malachi Branham.
Yeah.
Ochai Agbaji. You know, you said Tari Eason. You start to run out of names here. Jaden Hardy. Like, it's all good players. Mm-hmm. It's all good players, and then there's Johnny Davis. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding, Johnny. There it is. Top seven. I feel icky after doing that.
Why?
I just thought it was going to be a little more exciting when I was like getting ready to dig into it. I'm like, yeah, great tweet, Slam. Let's look at those sauce. Let's do a deep dive. And then it was just a bunch of, man, I should have made this a top three. It could have been over 5 minutes.
Yeah, you're talking about the best sophomores. And are you talking about any potential all-stars here? Paolo Banchero.
It's Paolo. That's this year?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah, Jalen Williams has been good. Jabari Smith has been very good. But
that's
we're talking about a whole group of guys. Jalen Williams, I saw him while we were eating in Las Vegas. Do you remember that? He was hanging out by himself, sort of. He was just chilling by himself, waiting for a meal. Come on, make a meal. Let's do this. I like how he wasn't waiting in his hotel room. But he was
in a lobby restaurant, you mean? Or where
No. That sort of like a food court type thing.
Oh, like that fancy food court. Was it that area?
No, it was a night one. It was in that other was like a Saturday night, first weekend.
Go on. I really want to get this. What was he eating?
Is Cosmo? The Cosmo food court there?
Yeah, the Cosmo food court we had
where Secret Pizza is around the corner and
up there, that second level.
Yeah, we were having a table battle trying to get an open table.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's all those like picnic table sort of setups. Mm-hmm. Yeah, communal seating. Yeah,
I remember Tess pointing him out, actually.
Yeah.
You remember what he was eating?
No, I don't. Mm. He had a hoodie on.
It was next to the fried chicken place.
Oh, yeah, we had that.
The way that we were eating.
I'm Was there unclear. A ramen shop up there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can picture it now.
Yeah.
But I can't picture him. Man, I wish I could.
Yeah. He noticed us because we noticed him. Hey, look. And I guess he was waiting for one of us to come over and bother him.
Do you think it's possible J-Dub is having this exact conversation with some members of the Thunder right now going, yeah, I saw those No Dunkie guys. I think it was the Cosmo. I think they were having fried chicken. There was the guy with the beard, tall guy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe I had my hood up, so I was telling them, don't come over.
Oh,
but
yeah.
One of them was looking at me. He looked like he was ready to come over.
One that looked a little, Greek-Canadian, I want to say. He wouldn't stop looking at me. All right, so there's the top seven sophomores. Tell us who we missed. What are you upset about? I know you're upset about something. Who did I omit that you must troll me with? I love it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
If you didn't like that segment, we make up for it right here. This tweet from the Orlando Magic, just a bunch of people dancing around to their own song.
Oh, yeah. Magic. Yeah, they have a theme song. Magic.
Now, it's a tweet. It's a bunch of people with wigs on. dancing around to Magic. That is a song you can put on in your car, or you can put it on your iPod and or iPod. People listen to iPods.
What?
Just put it in your headphones.
Right.
You could be grooving with that for.
So this is
minutes.
A real song.
Yeah.
So. Magic. It's not as good as the Sixers song that they play, but I like that one. Was this like this was a song from when they like created the team? This is like the 90s.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
Feels like it. Yeah.
I did see. Man, I should have grabbed it. It would have went paired nicely with your tweet. Because of the Spotify Wrapped going around that everybody was sharing, I saw the Magic shared this song title, Orlando Magic theme song, was like your most played song or something. It said like 8 times or something for the 8 wins.
Yeah.
Something along that line. Funny stuff.
They are funny and they're good on the tweets.
They are. You know, don't you like to see a team that struggled for a while, have some success, and you just see the social media team get to spread their wings? You know, because you can't do it as much as you'd like to as a crappy team.
Oh, no.
Like, think about the Kings last year when we were lighting the beam and, you know, they were firing off their tweets. It's a little more fun when you're winning a bunch of games.
Oh, yeah.
So now the Pistons – sorry, the Magic are having their moment.
Yeah, and they picked a good video. I have no idea if those people know what the Orlando Magic song is. I assume they don't.
I don't think
so. I assume that there's a huge disconnect there, but they picked the right video clip of people in wigs grooving. Yeah. Why? What are they doing? What are those people doing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like you would have saved that. I would have saved that dancing clip to put the music over when we beat the Sixers.
Right.
They had like a, what were they like?
Like a founding fathers sort of
That's
vibe.
What I was picking up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was struggling to see the link to the Wizards. Those weren't Wizards.
Yeah, maybe.
They couldn't find like a Comic-Con clip where a bunch of Wizards are dancing.
Maybe there's a political connection with Washington, D.C. old men in wigs, you know, that wore wigs way back in the day for a political meeting. So that was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. A Wizards dancing clip would have been like the Gandalf at the rave, you know, that clip.
Gandalf.
That would
the
have
rave.
Been perfect.
Yes, that's perfect.
Like we're
doing, but you know what? We've been doing this for 25 years now. Like these are kids who work in a in a social media department.
You think these are kids that have never seen Lord of the Rings?
Well, they've never seen that clip.
Come on. Really?
Oh,
their whole job is being online.
Well,
knowing the memes.
Okay, maybe we should pump the brakes on the compliments a little.
You're
like
right.
Step up your game,
take it
guys.
Back. Take it back. It's not tweet of the night.
Part of these social jobs is just to play the same thing.
Play the hits?
No, just play it again. They'll play it against the 76ers. They can just...
I see.
Yeah, what's wrong?
They're trying to make this a thing then.
Yes, exactly. It'll be a thing. It'll be a thing. Why the heck not?
I mean, there is a team in the NBA called the Wizards, so maybe not.
Here you go. Here you go.
Okay.
If the Orlando Magic social media team have the guts to do this, I will applaud them here on the show. Next Magic win, it's coming up against the Wizards.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's why they're doing. They're saving the Gandalf rave clip
for
when they go back to back. But if they don't want to use that clip, they should take the clip of us as the starters in our jackets, in our zip-up jackets, in the studio, dancing for 8 minutes, put the Orlando Magic theme song to that, send it out to the world, tag us. There you go.
Yep.
Do you have the guts to do it?
Do we move fast enough?
Oh, jeez. Oh,
no. Well, yes. First of all,
that music works with
We've
everything.
Got a groove.
Yeah.
You can also speed up and slow down video. Come on. This is a social media team.
No,
they're able
doing
to
their job
do it.
We're brainstorming.
The technology exists.
All right. What a wild ending to this one. We're getting a little loopy here at the end of the week. That's okay. We'll be back tomorrow with the Drop Podcast. Can't wait to take another Uber ride in. I apologize for the F-bombs today. I was a little Mr. Temper Boy today, but, you know, just the nuisance of a dead car battery.
Yeah.
And why isn't we okay, everything we have nowadays tells us how much juice is left in it.
That's right.
We can't have that on our battery? Why not? What's the reasoning behind that?
Big battery is holding us
back.
They
holding us back.
They want it to die.
AC Delco.
That's what the battery
that's
is?
That's what mine is.
They want AutoZone wants to get you there, and then they're going to read it to you. They're going to tell you. Yeah.
Well, that's why. That's the thing. So, like I said, jump started the car yesterday. Then I had the debate: do I take it in and get them to test it? And we came to the conclusion: I'm going to take it in.
Yeah.
They're going to test it. And all their little meter says is, yep, needs a new battery.
Right.
That's all it says.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter how much right. the juice is in that
it's
battery.
It's actually a sticker. It's not a
That's
meter.
It.
That's, yeah. That
so it's like, I mean, I should have done it. I regret it now, but anyway, I look forward to that new AC Delco.
Oh, you're going to go Delco again? This thing hasn't even lasted 3 years.
Oh, it's 4 years. 3 to 5 years. That's the window they're telling me on these AC Delcos. They're going to try and upsell me. Watch. You want the platinum? Another $40 extra. There's like a platinum version. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's got a longer warranty
or
something.
Just do it.
Do it?
Yeah.
That's a sucker. That's a sucker move.
Oh, come on.
This is like that. You're the sucker that pays for the high-speed internet in the hotel. It's the exact same.
No, I'm not that. I don't go that far.
Okay. Don't you remember that Zach Lowe rant? That was a good Zach Lowe rant.
Yeah.
All right, I will. I'll let you know how the battery goes on tomorrow's drop podcast, and we will probably be looking at some early, very early front runners when it comes to all the awards. So if you have a take on that, drop them in the comments. Tweet at us at NoDunkSync. We will see you tomorrow. Until then, Clipper Bros.
Sorry, I thought. My bad.
Hold on. You thought I was going to say
too late. Well, yeah.
Now it's too late. But join us for No Buffs, the Survivor podcast at 1 p.m. Eastern today. Unless I just cancel it, go home, and kick my car battery. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, we will be tweeting the Orlando Magic, our video of us dancing, as a suggestion to the social team.
Oh, we're going to give it to them.
Now, I say past tense, or sorry, I say future, we will tweet it, because I tried to tweet it now, but it's too long a dance. It's 7 minutes and 40 seconds of us dancing. It's too long, so we gotta cut that.
There's a Twitter version we have out there. Like, I don't know if we could find it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we'll just tag them.
Just so you know, we will be tweeting.
Praise the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.